Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, it's the build-up show, Liverpool Brighton Premier League midweek action. We will of course be there doing live fan zone commentary from the studio, but before then it is the build-up show. Chris Pajak, Georgia Stevens and Sam Walker join me for this one. And Chris, there's a point record to break. I'm trying my best to muster enthusiasm for it, because it is all that's left to play for in the season. That and the countdown to when Liverpool finally lift the Premier League trophy, of course. But, you know, what the Villa game did, aside from largely bore us to death for the vast majority of it, was mean that this is possible, that this is capable, you know, we're still capable of this, and it shows that Liverpool still give a shit about it.
Yeah, and you know, Klopp mentioned in his post-match press conference after the Villa game that, you know, it's 3 days and then another 3 days and then 4 days till the games and stuff. So I expect to see rotation in this game again. And, you know, Brighton, since the restart, they've been all right. Like, you know, they've got themselves a little bit away from it. Well, they got 7 points out of a possible 12, I think it is. 2 wins, a draw and a loss since the restart. And they got themselves away from that relegation zone. They got themselves a little breathing room. So this is a side that, you know, they beat Arsenal. They drew with Leicester. Yes, they got tonked everywhere by Manchester United, but they came back and got a victory against Norwich. They're not in bad form since the restart, if you can call 4 games form, I'm not sure. So yeah, it's just something we're going to have to take seriously. And as such, we're going to have to respect them. We'll make changes, but we'll go out there and we'll hopefully get another victory.
I think one thing, Sam, that the Villa game does and the knock-on impact to this game, you know, we were talking about the Villa, they were a team fighting for something. Liverpool was a free hit. It was an opportunity for them to go out and play with no fear. And I said, well, we will play games similar to the Crystal Palace game between now and the end of the season, when you're playing against teams that have really got the motivation. Brighton possibly be on the back of the Villa game. You know, there's now 9 points between them and the relegation zone. We actually might have helped to make this game a little bit more of a non-event for Brighton.
Yeah, it's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? They're either going to be really super inspired because it's a free hit and really come at us, put us on the back foot, take chances, gamble, which kind of plays into our hands. Or where Villa did run back in absolute numbers because they were protecting that 0-0, he won't be as bothered. I can see this game being a bit more like the game they played against United, where there's, I think Potter knows where he's going to get points. There's no point in exerting, you know, everything you've got into a game against Liverpool, who will probably beat you anyway. So I can see them making changes for this game as well. I actually think the Villa game was the hardest of the three that we've got now. So Villa, obviously, fighting for it, but then Brighton and Burnley aren't. So I think it'll be probably dull in parts where Brighton aren't really putting much into it. But they'll probably push forward and try and get a goal because they've got nothing to lose, which will then open up the back door for us. So in some ways, it'll be quite an exciting game for us.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Brighton will hopefully try and play a little bit of football against us, Georgia, but I was just looking at their fixtures. They've got us and City back-to-back. So all of a sudden, that 9-point gap to the relegation zone might actually look a little bit more precarious. So it might,
six,
you know,
after they beat City and we beat them.
after City battered them Villa to post and somehow come away with it. And a Maupai winner just to it, so troops can go and shine on all the City fans. I mean, that you know, them having that, I don't know how that affects their mentality, whether they just write it off. Do they just go all guns blazing for a couple of games, or do they? I mean, they've got Southampton, Newcastle and Burnley to follow after that. That's probably where, as Sam says, Georgia, they'll be looking and saying, we need to aim for 9 points in those games.
That's a really tough run. Mm-hmm. Like, that actually might, if you trusted one of the other sides to get points, I'd be concerned if I was a Brighton and Hove Albion fan.
Yeah,
Newcastle are in really good form. Southampton are in really good form. Yeah. Burnley are in really good form.
I think that when you look at it on paper, it is, you know, you're going to, like Sam said, you're going to get beat anyway. Why exert yourselves? But at the same, we kind of saw with Villa, is the points are so precious near that end of the table. And like Chris just says, when you've got a run in like that, one point could be the difference between going down and not at the end of the day. And it's how Brighton attack it, because if they try and go for the win, which is, you know, whatever, but that can't place into our hands, because as soon as teams think they can overcommit and they can, you know, full guns blazing, that's where we counterattack, and that's the end of the story there. But if they decide to do what Villa do and do a low block and things like that, I think we will need to look at how we set up against that, because it didn't work against Villa until we made them substitutions.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, in terms of this game, I wonder whether we'll see a similar sort of pattern to what we've seen now. With there's a few lads who've played quite a bit of football. We've talked about this already, how you've got your established first team, and then there's that clutch of other lads. And whether it's the Klopp wants to have a look at them, whether he feels there's a need in terms of fitness, we're probably going to see. You know, like Minamino's a good example of this. You know, he wasn't involved against Villa. It's probably about, he will almost certainly therefore be involved more heavily in this game than therefore because of the weekend.
Yeah, I've got a sneaky suspicion we might see Williams, you know. Whether that's at right back or left back, yeah. I don't know whether that's at right back or left back. Robbo looks a little jaded, for want of a better word, at the moment.
I think there was a moment, Chris, I don't know if it was picked up on the cameras, but I have a sneaking suspicion he had a little hip flask tucked into his sock. And, you know, whenever the ball went out of play, he was just having a little nip. And whether that impacted...
A wee drab, I think they say in Scotland.
A wee drab. That's an interesting job. Nico Williams, let's expand on that. I think the Nico Williams stuff is interesting. And, you know, we've seen him in isolation. We've seen him in a few limited sub-appearances. But he is probably due a start.
Yeah, I know. I genuinely think he is. I think, you know, between Trent and Robertson, they've not had enough cover over the course of the season. I know Robertson misses the first game back, doesn't he, after lockdown or whatever, but, you know, now's the time to see whether they can do it. I think, you know, I've seen enough out of Williams that he's not, Klopp's been saying in his press conference, I'm not going to give them a start just because they are young. And I've seen enough out of Nico Williams that suggest he wouldn't be starting him because he's young, he'd be starting him because he deserves it, because every time he's taken to the field, he's taken to it brilliantly and he's looked a danger. Now, again, we talked about this a little bit last week, we've not seen anything in a defensive sense from him when he has been coming on. You know, we have seen him in ultra-attacking mode, so maybe it's time that, you know, go out there, give him a full 90 minutes and see what he can do. Whether that's right or left, I'm not sure, but certainly Trent and Robbo probably need a little bit of a rest for me.
Well, Sam, it's interesting, obviously, we saw him come on as a very late sub in the Villa game for Andy Robertson. And, you know, actually, the substitutions we've seen in recent weeks have kind of informed a little bit of the decisions in terms of how players have started the games after. We've seen Oxlade-Chamberlain come in and play in the eighth in the previous game. We've seen Divock Origi coming on and starting in the nine. And now, obviously, seeing Nico Williams, it could point towards him getting a start at left-back.
It's interesting. The only counter I've got is Robertson, along with Mane and Salah. They're the three, and Van Dijk are the four fittest players in our squad. You can, you know, the stats back that up, don't they? The amount of starts and minutes they play. It's a funny one because Milner's there as well. Obviously, he loves Milner. We all love Milner. I'm not sure whether he would continue to not play Milner in the third game. He's been back and put a young lad in ahead of him. I'm not sure Klopp really works like that. It's going to be interesting to see what he does do, but I definitely think he will rotate again. Because one of the things I was just thinking about then is, as you both talk, or three of you were talking about the rotation then, is we've got two games now, haven't we, against two teams you'd expect us to dominate the game with and not exert as much as we did against, say, City. And then we've got a week off because we're not playing Chelsea till the Wednesday following. Yeah. So I think he might mildly rotate over the next two games, but I don't think he wants to give Trent and maybe Robbo 10 days off playing football at this stage of the season. So I think whatever he does on Wednesday will be reversed for, is it Sunday or Saturday we play
Saturday,
Birmingham?
Yeah.
So it'll be reversed. So because he wouldn't want to say rest Trent on Saturday and then he doesn't play again all the way through until Chelsea, which is 10 days away.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, sorry.
Yeah, and that's the balance in that, isn't it, Georgia? Because I think Klopp obviously wants to go hard. I don't think if he brings Williams in, I don't think we'll see five changes. I don't think we're going to see Jones in there. I don't think we'll see Elliott in there at the same time. I don't think we'll make sweeping changes, but I think we might see. I mean, look, all we saw for Villa was he changed two of the midfield, and that was and Firmino. Yeah, you know, it wasn't a far removed side, so it's likely we'll do something else again. You maybe bring, as I say, big Minamino in for whoever needs the rest most out of Salah and Mane, and then Henderson will come in maybe Wijnaldum comes in, maybe Keita stays in, and then all of a sudden you've freshened the side, you're keeping the fitness in the legs of a few other players, but you've not totally and utterly fundamentally changed what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing that we kind of touched on in the final word. It's not, you can't change how Liverpool play. And sometimes when you bring in certain players, it alters the way that Liverpool play fundamentally because they can't play the way that we need to. Yeah. And I think for Klopp to make these sweeping changes against a side that we should be beaten would just be a bit kind of pointless not to pick up the points. I mean, I would like to see Williams come in because, like he says, it's not just that, you know, he's a young kid, give him a start. He's really earned a spot, and every time he's come on, he's been impressive. And you've always, at the end of the game, wanted to see a bit more of him. And I think I saw that against Palace, of him coming on and almost scoring within however long he'd been on the pitch. And
yeah.
I do think, in my opinion, I think it'd be Robertson who'd get swapped out just because. Out of the two, I mean, Trent kind of saved himself against Villa. Out of the two, I don't think Robertson has looked back to what he was.
Yeah.
It's almost a perfect... Go on,
carry on, Chris.
It's almost a perfect game against Brighton because isn't Potter one of those ones who plays that mad 4-2-2-2 formation? So they haven't got loads of width anyway. So you can't imagine that, you know, putting Williams in, you're putting yourself in too much danger. They've not got like a Zaha out there who you'd think, oh, mate, this isn't the game for him or anything like that. So I wonder whether that could be interesting. And as far as like the wholesale changes, I agree, you're not making wholesale changes, but you probably are reversing to the first team. So even if you just bring in Williams, you're probably making four changes from the last game, but it's just your first 11 minus Robertson plus Williams, which you're not asked about, are you, in all honesty? And then, you know, I think for me, that's probably the best way to do it. And just go back to the first team. I like the idea actually of Fabinho for Henderson and maybe keeping Keita in there. That's probably what I would do. Give Fabinho a game off, and that way you've then rested in a week. Henderson and Wijnaldum and Fabinho have all had a game off in the week. You've rested Firmino. Does that mean he actually thinks about resting Salah or Mane? Who knows?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to note, Sam, the last time we played them, we went with a midfield three of Henderson, Genie and Oxlade-Chamberlain. So, you know, I mean, obviously, I actually can't think what the circumstances were. I don't think there was any reason. Maybe that was just after. Was that just after the injury? It doesn't matter.
It would have been, yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, and it was a mad game because it's the game where Alisson gets sent off. Van Dijk scores two for us in that one. Obviously, fingers crossed we don't see that from Alisson again. But it does show, you know, that he wouldn't be bothered for rotating it. And I say, you could quite easily see a team where you're bringing Nico Williams in at left back. So there's one change to your back five. You could keep Fabinho in and you could just bring Henderson back in, but leave Keita in the team. And then you bring in Minamino for, let's say, Mane. That team should be more than capable of doing a job against Brighton.
I think there's going to be some dynamics thrown in here. And I think we mentioned it the other day when we were doing the build for the Villa game, is Mane and Salah have got eyes for that golden boot. And Vardy just done a number on everyone in the league this weekend.
Yeah.
If you look at the other top guys, apart from Vardy, no one scored. So they're going to be knocking on Klopp's door saying, you dare drop me in the nicest possible way. Because they want goals. They want to be up there. They want to score 20 goals each. They want to get to that golden boot for the last game of the season when it matters. And so I think that's going to be very difficult to do that. I was just thinking there, you know, we've got five subs here now, actually. So he could actually Robbo and Trent and play Milner and Williams and say, well, if it's all going wrong, I've got five subs to sort out at half-time.
Why was Milner not on the bench, though, last night?
Oh, was he not? He was on the bench against City, wasn't he?
Well, this is what I was kind of going to get to, is that Milner... he wasn't on the bench at the in the last game, but Georgia, that's the one thing I think that maybe keeps Nico Williams out of the starting team here, is if Milner's available, he'll want to get Milner a game just to get him back into the side more than anything else. But if he's not, then I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I think Milner will always be kind of top of the pecking order in terms of that, and especially coming back from injury, you want to get him, you know, back ball rolling eventually, because I see him playing a part at some point in that final game of the season, because I think as well against Chelsea, he's a solid player and you need that sometimes, you need that stability, and I think we've missed him on the pitch. I think that's been evident, as you've missed, and we say it all the time, you miss Milner as a personality on that pitch of kind of dominating and being the captain without being the captain. And I think that is the only thing that will keep Nico out the side, because I don't see swapping both fullbacks. I think that's kind of, you know, I just don't see that kind of happening.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The only counterpoint to all of this, Chris, is that Robbo probably, I mean, he'd probably just do a play until he plays better. You know, look, he's been phenomenal, but I agree. I think whether it's just finding his feet again, or maybe it is just a little bit, maybe just a bit too heavy on the red Carlsbergs in celebration, I don't know. But, you know, his game's just been a bit off. And, yeah, you know, it might just be worth playing him until he gets back into the form, and then you give him his rest.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm speculating here, but, you know, he did miss that first game back. It was precautionary. I wonder whether he's just playing within himself, because if there's one area of the squad where we are at our weakest at the moment, certainly with Milner missing games as well, it is probably left back. You know, Milner went off a couple of weeks ago himself, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Clutching his thigh, or was it his knee or something like that? So
that's his leg. And then
let's go.
Fine.
Yeah, left-hand leg. I'll go with. by the way, JB commentator did that right-hand thing last night. It's something Paul does in commentary occasionally. It doesn't fuck his words up very often, Paul. So, you forgive me. I do it all the time, so I'm allowed to just have a little pop when you do it, Paul. But he stopped himself and went right-hand. No, wait, right foot. And I went, yes, that's how you do it, in your face, Rachel.
Right-hand shoulder. I call it, which is right. It's on your right hand side. Your right hand side.
Right shoulder.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what I was talking about.
Oh God! There we go. Turn him off. He's done. He's out of here. Fantastic.
Milner doing his left hand right calf.
Oh yeah, that's it. So like, maybe Robbo's just playing within himself.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just playing within himself, and that's why he's been shit. And maybe it's nothing to do with the hangover that he's got. Who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, this is it, really, Judge. We've passed the point now. We can't blame the players being on the lash anymore. So we could really we talk about the Villa game, and you know, I think there was an expectation, and maybe Crystal Palace did this to us a little bit, because we were so good against Palace. But you know, it's worth pointing out, and me and Chris did this post Villa, that. But I think it's a worthwhile point to expand on. our expectations are probably getting in our own way a little bit here, is that Liverpool want to win the points record. It's a mad situation. Like, again, we've now seen City drop. City have lost two games as well since coming back to this. Now they're all conquering next season's champions already because they beat us. Man City have now lost
3 points ahead and now we're level again.
Absolutely. You know, it proves that the league, this season's, next season's league's up for grabs already. But look, if Liverpool are going to go, if Liverpool are taking it seriously, there's a chance that we might just have to sit through six more grinds here, because let's be honest, that's how we've achieved this league title. We've not achieved it by being the best footballing side. We've achieved it by being effective and getting points no matter what.
Yeah, I think we will always compare these games against smaller clubs, quote, to the Crystal Palace game. But you've got to remember as well, that was the game that we win that, we're relying on City getting beaten, we're champions. So this is effectively the last champions performance. We do the business and then once City win, we go see. So that needed to be a showcase. That needed to be, this is why we deserve to win the league. Don't care if City get... This is why. And it was. And people saw the Chelsea City game and said, yeah, City were unlucky, whatever. But they saw that Crystal Palace game and said, yeah, that's why Liverpool deserve to be champions. That's what they do. We haven't had that motivation since because we won it. And Klopp said it when we played City. City had nothing to lose and we had nothing to win. And that's the top and tail of it. So we do have that expectations, but... We talked about like the Arsenal Invincibles and things like that. They went invincible because they won every game. Invincible because they didn't lose. And that's the same as now, is we don't want to be dominating these games and beating everyone 4-0, as great as it'd be to watch. We just need to win them. You just need to get them 3 points in order to beat the record.
And Sam, you know, I wonder whether there's a degree to which you've got Chelsea and our Chelsea game looming in particular, I think, where you want your first 11 for that game. You know, you want to be building back up again. You know, we did it for City. I think the two games prior to it were about making sure that your best lads were ready to strike to the best of their ability in that game. And I wonder whether Chelsea is another example of that, where we are just going to make sure that this team hits its stride again for that, because that's the last big test. You know, everything else I think is winnable in its own way, but that might be the game where we're just kind of engineering the squad to be ready for that game.
Yeah, and I actually got it wrong before with the games. We've actually got three more games back-to-back as Arsenal. That's actually before Chelsea, isn't it? So if you think about it, in terms of the points total, Chelsea...
And I've been really disrespectful to not count Arsenal in that.
I thought you were being serious. I was going to jump in and thought, no, he's probably considered that Arsenal is shite.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you know him so well there, Chris. Do you know what? In fairness, though, the Chelsea game, it can be a massive game for us, because we probably are going to trudge through these next few games. Because when it comes to things like points totals, I said this the other day, until you get there or right nearly there, it doesn't become a factor. At the moment, it's a possibility. And we're not playing for possibilities. We're playing for, you know, real targets. And once we do overcome Brighton and Burnley, which I believe we will, we'll be within two games of breaking that. That's when you'll start to see the ante up a bit. You know, Arsenal will be a good game because of the way they play. But we can play Chelsea, like you say, Paul, with all of our best lads. We can beat them, beat the record, beat Chelsea, which is always a big game, lift the title at Anfield. And obviously, it's our last big game. So we can get that moment of winning the league on the pitch by doing that then. That's we can do. And that's what we should be building towards.
It's a great point. It is a bit like the whole Invincibles thing or the title challenge thing. I think people talk about being in a title challenge a lot, Chris. And because we've never really, truly been in one.
Even now, as winners, we haven't been in one, have we?
It was new, but it was new analysis for us. Is the people who think they're in a title race in January, you're not really in a title race unless you're in touching distance in the last 2 months of the season. And sounds right. It's possible to break the points tally, but it's not going to be unless we get Brighton out the way, Burnley out the way. And then you can look and say, well, you know, that all of a sudden with the Arsenal, Chelsea and then the Newcastle game, I'm hopefully not the Newcastle game, because you're right, because we've got the ability. If you win that, the Chelsea game will be the game that breaks the point record. If that's where we've played ourselves into those situations, that's what it's going to be about. These next few games are probably a bit of an exercise in getting making sure the players are fit, getting some rhythm back up and running again. But also, yeah, just making sure that we can have that conversation by the time Chelsea rock up to Anfield. Yeah.
And Klopp's been preaching it every game for years now, one game at a time. And Sam's right, the only way you get within striking distance of that points record is one game at a time, and you've got to get those 3 points. Mane referenced it in his post-match interview after Villa. We've just got to win the next game. And that's been bred into them, and they'll continue to work towards getting 3 points in the next game, and the records will come if they keep getting the 3 points in the next game. And this is slightly off topic, and I don't know where this fits in, but I've been wondering for years and hoping for years, and I'm sure you are exactly the same, like, how your season's not over by January, and we win the league and our season was over in January. Isn't that fucking mad?
Yeah. Typical Liverpool, isn't it? They're already talking about next year in January.
But next year's going to be our year, Paul. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. We all need to have a little sit in this for a bit longer. I just don't think... that's the problem with... This is Liverpool having, like, winning the game with seven... winning the league with seven games to go is the equivalent of Paul McCartney having to be the last living good Beatle. You know, he's got to keep making music, hasn't he? And he's got the opportunity to fucking ruin his career with either making terrible music or any other number of scandals that could fall upon. You can ruin... By having to continue to play, you've got the opportunity to ruin your legacy and any given moment, whereas if you get to bow out, you know, you win the league on the last game of the season, you've won it, you get all summer to celebrate. We're kind of stuck in this really weird, like, no man's land where we haven't even lifted the trophy yet. We haven't been able to properly celebrate it yet, and already people are talking about next year. It's like, no, can we just sit in this for a bit and just sit and wonder? But no, we're not allowed to, because it's a game every fucking 3 days, and we've got to get up for it, and we've got to be, and every game's got to be the most important thing, and every opportunity, every time we can see the shot on goal, it's back to go, oh God, isn't this a good, why aren't Liverpool playable? Blah, blah, blah.
This is why we need Werner.
We need to sign players. Like, fucking hell, lads, let's just enjoy being champions for a bit. But no, I mean, that's it, Jordan. We're just going to have to switch our mindset and get into this world that, look, if Liverpool do it, they do it. And if they don't do it, big fucking shrug, because they've already won the league.
It's more nervy now with however many games to go than it was when we were, like, in the lead up to winning the title. I'm more on edge watching a game going, please score, please score, please score. So nobody kicks off on Twitter. Like,
yes.
Oh, wait,
yes.
This yes. is it. The puller on the down. City are the champions now. It's like, just chill for a minute. We've won. But that's more nervy than the build-up.
It's the anticipation of fucking knobheads that's getting me down more than actually anything else around it.
Like, I think as well, it's the most Liverpool thing to happen is the fact that we didn't get to enjoy a title race, because that never happened. We just went to first and that was it. We never moved. There was no kind of, like...
I did enjoy it, though. Yeah, we did enjoy it, yeah.
Oh, it was great. But at the same time, you don't get that, you know, the title race, blah, blah, blah. And now that we have won it, there's so many games to go that we haven't really celebrated it properly, because everyone's still on edge that this is the moment we're going to fuck up and we'll never recover from it.
Yeah, we just...
Liverpool are in the best position possible, and the Twitter thing's just fucking hilarious, because I feel exactly the same. I'm like, oh my God, imagine the people on Twitter who have, I don't know, Frolicking Firmino is their fucking at, or something like that. You know the people that I mean. The ones who put badges of fucking footballers.
Children.
Children, right. Imagine them 10 years ago, and they would have been in their mother's womb, so I understand that. Like, but, like, going through the Hodgson era, like, we won 2-0 against Villa, and there's kickoffs.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know those stories about the people who killed themselves at halftime in Istanbul? You know, like, you know, that would have been, it would have been like a fucking suicide cult Twitter, with, like, live streaming of dozens and dozens of people throwing themselves off high buildings and whatever at halftime if Twitter had been available at the time. But yeah, we all need a little bit of perspective. And I honestly feel like we all have, and I think most people do have. But yeah, Twitter's never been a great barometer for sense and or sensibilities, you know, and particularly not in the situation none of us know how to deal with this. We've never in our lives, no one's ever, because no one's done this, no one has experience of how to do this. What are you meant to do when there was seven games of football left to be played, where you've attained everything you've wanted and you've had it come to you sooner than you ever dreamed it possible? We were meant to win this league with our Aguero moment, and we haven't. We've just pissed it, and now it's like
and throw the pandemic in there.
Absolutely mad. I've no idea how to handle this, but we're all gonna have to handle it. Let's have some quick score predictions from you then, guys.
I'm gonna stick with last week's and go 4-0. I'm going to call it until it comes in.
I'll go 3-0. Yeah, don't see us concede, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris?
I'm going to go 2-0 Liverpool.
Cool. Right, I'm going back to my five. I wanted my five. I'm going to set myself up for failure and disappointment once again. And then everyone gets to go, oh, and you can put those tweets up like, beating Brighton isn't for everyone, and then putting the Arsenal score in or whatever, and that'll just be how people banter for
By the way.
But anyway, that's the world we live in. Right, okay, that'll do us. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Liverpool Brighton will be live on the Fan Zone commentary on the YouTube channel. Do join us from 45 minutes before kickoff for that. Thanks for the package delivered for me during the show. That's great. thanks, mate. We will see you there, hopefully. Do come and join us. That's been a great show. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Thanks, kids, for delivering. We'll see you all soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.